fact that we are saved. Now, you remember, just to kind of catch us up to speed, Paul has been talking to Titus and saying, look, doctrinal issues are important, and they still are. Amen? I mean, we gotta have some doctrinal things established with people and in churches, and if you don't, then, boy, you know, anything can happen, anything goes, and nobody knows what in the world to believe. So we've got to have those doctrinal issues. But then Paul begins to take a little turn in chapter number 2 as he talks about those doctrinal things and how, you know, what he should be telling people on their behavior and on how that they should live, all those kind of things in the first several verses. And then he gets down to that verse number 11 in chapter number 2, and he talks about the grace of God that has appeared to all men that brings salvation and what it teaches us, what it has us looking for. And we've been through that. And then he jumps back in chapter number 3 again, and he gets back to the idea of telling these folks how they should live, what they should know, and what things they should follow. So he does that on down through verse number 3. And then we started this little section of study, and we're just calling it the truth of our salvation in the whole section, but we're breaking it down from there. But let's read that, if you will, verses 4 through 7, and this is what Paul says to Titus. He said, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank You, Lord, again for the evening. Thank You for the Word of God and for all those things that You've allowed us to see. And I pray now, just give us wisdom, give us instruction, give us the good heart from heaven and the good thought of God, that we'd be able to understand these truths and hide them in our hearts and walk like You and be more like You. I pray You just get honor and glory and praise from everything that we say and everything that's done tonight. And again, we'll just worship You and thank You for all that You're doing. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, we won't talk about the truth of our salvation, but I want you to think of it this way, if you will, in these verses. We're going to talk about the truth in redemption of our salvation. There is in verses 5 and 6, we'll cover those two tonight. There's the fact of us being saved, but there's something about the way that we were saved, the way that God brought redemption to us in this world. And it's crazy sometimes to the world. I mean, people in this world, they say, well, man, that's too simple. It's too easy. I mean, people will talk today about easy believism, that sort of thing. I'm not in favor of that, but I am in favor of the fact that it's not impossible for God to save us in a truly simple way. To say that you're saved by grace through faith, a lot of folks are looking like, but there's got to be something I've got to do. What you have to do is simply trust what the Lord has already done. Amen? And I know that's tough for a lot of folks, because you've got all kinds of religious isms today where people say, yeah, well, you do this, but we got to add that. We've got to do this. We got to, you know, there's got to be some activity on mankind's part. But there's not. There's nothing that we have to do. So that's where Paul gets to tonight when he's talking about being saved. And, you know, again, in verse number 4, he said, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Aren't you glad that God made an appearance in our stead and for our case, and He did it in kindness? Hey, He did it in His goodness and His love. God brought His kindness and His love toward us, and He made this salvation come onto the scene through the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? So look with me beyond that, though, if you will. Unless we talked about that last week, about the revelation of that salvation. But now we're going to talk about the truth in redemption of our salvation. So look at this with me, if you will. First of all, let's talk about the mercy that we see in our salvation. The mercy that we see in our salvation. Somebody said this one time. They said, God gives grace to the worthless. God gives mercy to the helpless. And God gives peace to the restless. And I'm telling you, I believe He does every bit of that for me and for you. And I guess we can kind of see ourselves again in that situation through our lives. Sometimes we were worthless, but thank God He came anyway. We were helpless, but He came to our rescue, and we were just very restless. But thank God I found out about the peace that comes from heaven above. Amen? So that's what God came to give. And in this, you notice where Paul says to this. Now, we note there in verse number 4, you remember how verse number 4 starts out? He says, but. And that's a conjunction in opposition to something else. He's talking about how rotten and sinful and wicked that we were, and that's the way we lived our life. But God showed up and brought His good kindness and brought His great love, and gave us that appearing of the salvation that comes only from heaven. And He says, look, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He said, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So let's look at that for a minute and notice, as I say, first of all, you notice the mercy that's in this redemption. The mercy in this redemption is seen in the pity of God that He has on every one of us. God has pity. God's mercy is seen in His pity. Can I tell you, sometimes you see someone or you see something, or maybe sometimes you might even see a poor animal somewhere, and you know, something's gone wrong with them. They're in a terrible way. They're in a bad condition, and you see them, and you, through an act of compassion, of an act of mercy, you have pity on that person or on that animal or on that situation. You and I can do that. Boy, isn't it amazing how God had so much mercy, how that God had so much pity on me and you when we were stinking, rotten, lost in our sins and headed on the way to hell. Amen? It amazes me sometimes to realize this, but God's attitude to me and you is mercy in the time of our distresses. God's attitude toward, He has mercy in this redemption. He says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It said, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Amen? Don't you realize, salvation of that is not a function of man's works. There's nobody in here or outside of here that can do enough to get saved. Amen? I mean, it's just impossible. We're not able to do anything to get ourselves saved. I mean, look, you remember what the Bible says over in the book of Galatians. Paul's talking to those people at the church at Galatia. And he says, look, he said, have you started in the Spirit and now you're trying to be perfect through your flesh? I mean, look, you started out well. He said, who bewitched you? Who pulled this thing over? Who pulled the wool over your eyes and got you to thinking that you have to do something to be or to continue to keep your salvation? There's nothing you can do. It's all by the action of God's precious mercy on our life. It is not a function of any man's work. Amen? I mean, we've read that and seen it numerous times where Paul talks about that you're saved by grace through faith and not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. Could you imagine being in heaven and you run into Moses and you say, hey, Moses, you know what I did to get here? What'd you do, Moses? Hey, Moses would tell us the same thing. I trusted in what God said, and we sacrificed those lambs that night down in the land of Egypt. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He said, we believe that, we trusted that, and that's how I got here. Amen. How'd you get here? Well, look what I did. Look who I am. Hey, brother, there's none of us that have anything to brag about. It is not about a man's work, wisdom, will, or way. It's all about what God's mercy has done for us. So, as I say, just grab that first of all and realize that it is not a function of man's work. I mean, we cannot, but I'm glad to report to you here. It's not a function of man's work, but it is the favor of God. It's the favor of God. I mean, God is showing us His mercy, but according to His mercy, He saved us. God looked on us and He said, He'll never make it. They'll never be able to come. But thank God, I got a plan. I got a way. I've got a remedy for that man's sin. And it'll only come through me because of my tender mercy, my love toward him. Amen? And you know that's what verse number 4 is all about. He said, the kindness and the love of God toward man appeared. God shows up where there's a bunch of people in a rotten, stinking way. And man, he just leans down and says, I'm showing them my mercy and my kindness. Amen? Wow. I find that a hard thing for us to understand sometimes. But aren't you glad over in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, the Bible starts talking about how wicked the world is and how things are, you know, all going downhill. And God looked down and He saw that man's thoughts were on evil continue. But then if you read down far enough, you'll see where the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, thank God. Hey, God looks down and God sees and God knows and God extends His merciful ways toward us even when we're rotten, even when we're lost. Even those folks in Noah's day, God gave them a long period of time, as long as it took for Noah, if it isn't 120 years, whatever it was, to build that ark. They still had that long to get right with God, and they all refused the offer. Isn't that amazing? Every one of them. I mean, if you go back and read, Peter even writes about it, and he says that there was only 8. He said, wherein 8 souls were saved in Noah's day. That's Noah and his wife, and that was his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. That was it. That's all there was. And God saved them. But you know what? I believe He'd saved anybody else if they believed the story. See, that's what I'm saying today. God still has mercy. God's still giving time. God is still long-suffering, if you will. And, man, people are still turning and shaking their fist at heaven and saying, if there is a God, let Him strike me dead, and all that silly stuff that people will say. Oh, my goodness, how foolish of men to do that. It's not by works that we have done. Not us, but it's the favor of God that He shows to us in His mercy. God in His mercy is being so good and so kind and so gentle to us. So it's the favor of God, but not only do you see that, it is also according to our faith in God. I mean, as I said, it's not by works of righteousness, not us, but God saved us by His mercy. God's mercy saved us in the fact that we believed what His Word said to us. You've got to have some faith in Him. Well, you know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that, your faith, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That he that cometh unto Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter number 11. So when you're looking at that and you're realizing God says you've got to believe and trust, thank God that's what I'm going to do. How about you? Amen? I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to say, man, that's what it takes. Then that's what I got to do. Amen? And when you believe by faith, you have a faith that works. A faith that works. You remember the story about the prodigal son? Y'all remember the prodigal son? He's out in the world, and the world turns on him. He runs out of money, runs out of friends, runs out of anybody that has any care for him. And there he is, and he's down in the hog pen, and he's so hungry. He said, I just about eat what this slop these pigs are eating, and he just didn't know what to do. And then the Bible said he came to himself. And he said, I know what, I'll go back to my father's house. And he was wondering if the Father would receive him. Amen? Will Dad want me back? Will he have? Boy, I'm going to go back, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw myself on the compassion and the mercy of my Father. I don't know how it's going to wind up, but that's what I'm going to do. Amen. And then you know the story. Old Brother Lloyd Duffy used to say, drop the pail, jump the rail, and hit the trail. Amen. I mean, man, he went back home to the Father. He started heading back to Daddy's house. And the Bible said, when he was yet a great way off, that his Father saw him. Can I tell you, those were eyes of mercy. That Father saw him, and he didn't turn and look the other way. He didn't get all bent out of shape and hateful. But, brother, the Father saw him a great way. Can I tell you, he had eyes of mercy. And then I want you to notice the next day, he had some legs of mercy. He ran to him. He went to where he was, and then he had arms of mercy. He threw his arms around him, and he began to give him kisses of mercy. He kissed him, and he looked around, and he gave words of mercy. He said, this is my son. He's come home. Go to the house. And then he wanted to clothe him in mercy. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the kind of mercy that God has extended to us because we trusted him by faith. Amen. We trusted him by faith in a living and a loving God. Aren't you? Boy, hey, listen. Salvation is received, but it's not achieved. You have no achievement to get to the place of salvation. You just receive what God's got. That old prodigal son, when he came home, I mean, he'd lost everything. He hadn't done nothing but disobey Daddy and go against what the rules were, and he was in rebellion. But you know what? Hey, that mercy said, come on home, son, I love you. Amen. Don't worry about what you've done. He began to try to tell him, Dad, if you just make me a servant. He said, you're a son. You belong at the house. We're going to clothe you. We're going to put a ring on your finger. We're going to put shoes on your feet. We're going to fix you up like you was. Amen. Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying you just have to receive what God's got. And what God's got for us, hey, many times in salvation, it's better than what you and I can even imagine sometimes. That young boy said, if he'd just make me like one of them hired servants, and I believe he meant that down in his heart. If he'd just let me live down there in a servant's quarter and eat what they're eating, he said, they got better stuff to eat than what I got. But you know what? He wound up going to the house. Hey, and you know what the daddy said? Go kill the fatted calf. You ain't eating just bread, boy. You're eating from the highest portions that we have. Why? Because I've got mercy on my child. Amen? Can I tell you, that's the kind of God that we have, the mercy that he shows to us in redemption. Amen? All right, let's look at this. I don't know how we're going to look at it. Don't look too good there, does it? But it's... This thing glitches every once in a while. I want you to look at the method in redemption. There is a method in this redemption. Salvation certainly has mercy involved with it, but there is a method in it. And read this with me, if you will. In verse number 5, he says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. But listen to the end of this. He says, by the washing of regeneration, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how you got saved. That's how I got saved. That's how anybody gets saved. How is that, preacher? Well, first of all, let's look at that and let's talk about the spiritual cleansing that Paul mentions. Paul says this. He says, he saved us. Then there's that little comma, by the washing of regeneration. Amen. The washing of regeneration. Now, you know, there's a lot of folks that believe, oh, well, if I can get up there and get in that baptismal pool, then I can wash my sins away. That's not true. I want you to understand that's not a truth according to the Bible. That's not the way salvation works. Because if it was, you know, old fella said a long time ago, if that's the way it worked, I'd get me a shotgun and a wash tub and somebody going to get saved. Amen. I'd go and make sure there's a lot of folks got saved. But it doesn't work like that. It's not because you got in the river. It's not because you got in that pool. It's not because we took you to a creek. It's not because of any of that that anybody ever got saved. What is it? He said it's the washing of regeneration. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? He said, why would you marvel that I say you must be born again? You've got to have a regeneration. There's got to be, and that's what Paul is talking about here. Regeneration is this, the spiritual cleansing. You got to be born again, and you got to get washed by the water of the Word of God. Jesus tells us that you know, he throughout the time that he's in the Gospels preaching, he talks about how that there would be a river flowing out of the inside of every one of us, and that's a type of the Holy Spirit, but it's a type of that washing of that water from the Word of God. We need that Word. We need the Word of God. As a matter of fact, you look over the book of Ephesians, and if you want to flip over there with me, it's not very far back in your Bible, Ephesians chapter number 5, and the Lord is talking about how that he is got talking about husbands and wives and all those things. Down in verse number 25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify. Listen, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, his bride, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. What do you say? I'm saying it takes the washing of the water of the Word of God to bring about a regeneration in us. There's got to be regeneration. Again, that word regeneration, it just simply means born or made new and whole again. It's just talking about something that comes by the same thing that we see in the other parts of the Word of God where he talks about that water. It's not the physical water washing anything. As I say, that's not going to clean anybody up. The old saying is you go down in the water, a dry center, you'll come up just a wet center. Amen? I mean, I've talked to people and they say, oh, preacher, now what about baptizing me? Well, if you're saved, yes, in obedience to a good conscience and a picture of what's happened spiritually to you, that's fine. But if you're wanting to do it just to say, well, that's going to wash my sins away, it don't do it. You know, that's one of those things that's been very popular down through the years in songs and songwriting. You know, so-and-so went down to the river and their sins got washed away. That ain't right. The idea is that there is a washing by the water of the Word. You remember what John the Baptist said? John said, look, I'm just baptizing y'all with water. He said, there's somebody coming after me, and he's going to wash you with the water and with the Spirit. It's going to be a different kind of thing. There is a spiritual cleansing that comes, and it comes only, as we're going to see, by the Lord himself. That cleansing that you've got to have. There's got to be a washing. And as I said, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. I mean, there's no other way. Brother, look, flesh and blood cannot and will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what would you do if this old mess right here got into heaven? You'd be tired before you knew it. You'd get wore out even if you was worshiping the Lord. You'd get mad probably somewhere along the line at somebody else. Y'all go ahead and say amen right there. Well, look at them. They're showing out over there. I mean, who do they think they are? Amen? See, that's where our flesh does. You get up there in the Spirit, you know what you're going to do? You don't just join in with them. Whatever they're doing, however they're praising, whatever that worship is, thank God I want to be part of that. Amen? Why? Because you are spiritually clean and whole before the Lord. Amen? So, there's a spiritual cleansing in this aspect. And not only that, that leads to a spiritual changing. You'll notice that he says, look, that he saved us by the washing regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know, you've been changed. You got a spiritual change when that renewal. That word renewal means this, to become new and different than what you were. You become new and you become different. As a matter of fact, this implies that there is a better or superior form of you than the old you. When you get renewed, it's better. Amen? Y'all ever watch all them commercials? You know, everything that comes out is new and improved. Well, I mean, if it's bread, if it's a car, if it's a computer, new and improved. I mean, everything's new and better. Can I tell you, when the Lord saves you, He does make you new and improved. Paul said that over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You're new, you're different, you're better. When the Lord saves you, He renews you. Amen? He makes you something that you never were before. And thank God, don't go back to what you used to be. Amen? I mean, that's the idea from it. He's given you, thank God, when He renews you, He gave you a new Lord. He gave you a new heart. He gave you a new vision. He gave you a new outlook. He gave you a new home. He gave you a new place. He gave you some new friends. He gave you all things new. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? New purpose, new goal. And listen, that thing tells us, Paul says this again over in the book of Romans in chapter 12. Well, he talks about, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, but be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. A renewed mind. What do I need a renewed mind for? Paul says this, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't do it in the old way. Us in the flesh, there's people who come into churches and they'll play church. But you know what? They can't please God like that. A lost person can come in and they can, as I say, get in the baptismal pool and get wet. They can come down and shake everybody's hand, and they can write their name on the church ledger, and they can become part of even Old Bethel Baptist Church or whatever church it is. They can become part. But I want to tell you something, friend. It doesn't change a thing on the inside of them until Jesus moves in. Amen? I'm telling you, that's what's got to happen. You have got to be renewed. And as I said, the old man, the old way, the old mind, the old thinking, the old habits, all of those things, they will not worship God. Amen? I mean, you just can't do it. It said that the things of God are spiritually discerned. And I'm telling you, your flesh can't figure that out. Oh, well, preacher, I can do like that. You can. You can mimic people. I told y'all when I got saved, I tried that. Before I got saved, I tried it. I mean, I sat where they sat. I could sing what they sang. I could look like they looked. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost said, you ain't got it, boy. Amen? I mean, down on the inside, I knew that I wasn't what the rest of those folks were. And you know what happened on that Sunday night in September, third Sunday night in September 1972? He moved right into my heart and He changed my life and saved my soul. Amen. Amen? Because that's what it takes. It takes salvation. I'm telling you. And that renewal is something that is really a consistent renewal. It's something that happens in our lives. It's something that happened at one point. But I believe this. I believe that we have that renewal coming on for us as we serve the Lord. There is a renewing that happens within every one of us. Amen? So, as a Christian, you need that renewing. Amen. A spiritual change. All right, let's see if we can get back. Yeah, we're back in black and yellow now, so that looks better, don't it? Amen. All right, so we looked at the mercy. We looked at the method in our redemption. Last of all, let's look at this, if you will. Let's look at the mediation in our redemption. There is some mediating that's gone on for your redemption. Look what it says in verse number 6. Now, it says that He saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. But look in verse number 6. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Boy, if you want to sometimes, and you do this in your Bible, that's a good verse to highlight. That's a good verse because in this verse, all three parts of the Godhead are seen. You see that little word, which? Now, read the end of the last verse. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then he uses that word, which, in reference to the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. There's the Holy Ghost. He's there. Which he being God the Father. So now you got God the Spirit. You got God the Father, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You got the Father. You got the Son. You got the Holy Ghost all in one verse right there. Boy, that'd bust a lot of folks' doctrine, won't it? Amen? Well, we think it's just one. Well, you need to go back and read your Bible. Amen? I mean, this Bible says that God the Father shed abundantly. He gave us abundantly the Holy Spirit of God. But he said that that happened to us, he says, by or through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's all three of them. What do you say? I'm saying it takes all three of them for me and you to get saved. Amen? They're all involved in the aspect of our redemption. Amen? I'm telling you, God the Father is the Father and the author, if you will, of the plan. Jesus came down and died on the cross. Then the Holy Ghost is sent out to convict us of our sins and bring us to that place where we're washed and renewed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They're all active in this process of our redemption. Amen. So, Paul is talking about this here. And it's seen, as I say, by this outpouring, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about that. First of all, let's talk about the pouring. You see that where he says that which he shed on us abundantly? That word shed, you see it throughout your Bible. Jesus shed his blood. And it means to pour. It means to pour. It means really to gush. I mean, it's not just a dribble. It's not a drop or two. It is a gush. It is an outflow. It is an outpouring in massive amount. As a matter of fact, Paul kind of uses that adjective there, doesn't he? Where he says, that which he shed on us, what? Abundantly. This isn't some little bitty thing. Well, we'll give you a drop or two of the blood. No, sirree, brother. You got the flow. Amen? And the Holy Ghost came down. And he didn't just come with a drop or two of the Holy Ghost. He came in an abundance of the Spirit of God. Amen? You know, there are some folks, and I'm not going to jump on them, but there's some folks, well, we sprinkle. When people get baptized, we sprinkle. Oh, listen, did God sprinkle you when you got saved? No, he abundantly gave that Spirit to wash you clean. Amen? And so I think when you get baptized, you ought to get baptized in abundance. Get in and under that water and show them how that you are showing the death and the burial and the resurrection coming up from there, out of that body of water. Amen? So, listen, as I say, you got folks that believe that, and that's their business. But I'm telling you, I believe in the pouring out, don't you? I believe the Lord poured out on, he shed on us abundantly. He did it in an abundance. Listen, again, you see, the fountainhead of this thing is God the Father. Amen? He is the fountainhead of all of this flow. And then you notice that the power of this thing is found in the Son of God. Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life. He paid the debt for my sin and for your sin. And he was buried in a grave. And then somehow, and we know how, somehow he came back alive again. Amen? Well, Jesus died. He just didn't stay dead. Amen? You remember what we've said this many times, what he says to John in chapter number 1. When John saw him there on the Isle of Patmos, he said, "Behold, I'm he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore." Amen? Woo, aren't you glad of that? That he had gave that his life and he had the power. He had the power. He said, "If I lay it down, got the power to take that life back up again." And he did. Amen? He did. And then the channel of this this salvation for me and you is through the Holy Spirit. You know what God's done for me and you, basically? God's done a remodel on our soul. He came in, he said, boy, that one's broke down pretty bad. Look at them shutters. They're about to fall off. Well, look at that roof. It's all messed up. He said, I'm going to fix it. How you going to do it? I'm going to regenerate and renew everything in that soul. And he does it through the Holy Spirit of God. But it's Jesus' power that does. And God, as I said, is the fountainhead of this whole operation. And brother, you know what that makes me and you? Saved. Amen? He saved us. That's what Paul says. So you see the pouring of this in the mediation. And then you see the person. You notice that he says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the word through, this happened through Jesus Christ. The idea of through is something that goes across something else. It comes from one point and crosses over to another point. That's the idea of the word through. So that means Jesus is a conduit for our salvation. It came through him. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, through me. I am the conduit of this eternal life that every man will receive when he comes in faith and believes in the finished work of Calvary. That's, you've got to come through him. There's no other way. There is a. That's why I say, when you look at these verses, and probably verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, when you look at those verses in your Bible, how important they are. As I told you, Titus, I mean, look, we've just got three little chapters here. But man, didn't God pack it full of some great truths for me and you? Jesus is that way that successfully came across, brought across our way to heaven. Amen. Our way to salvation. It all comes through him. That's the only way you're going to make it, is through him. Amen. There's no other way to make it to heaven but through him. Somebody said this, all things are from Jesus. All things are by Jesus, and all things are for Jesus. Everything that is. And Paul said that himself, didn't he? He said that everything that was made by him, and it was made for him. Amen. Everything that has been made. Well, what does that mean? Brother, that tells me he's the pinnacle of everything that there is. The pinnacle of everything that there is that has to do with our salvation. Our salvation. Isn't that amazing when we think about the fact that, man, we're saved. We're saved. But it's God the Father's plan, God the Son's power, and God the Holy Spirit provides the stuff that comes on in our life and in our heart. He comes and shows up with us, disturbs us, and tells us we need to be saved. Amen? He comes down and he speaks to our hearts. I don't know if he's speaking to yours tonight. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something. I don't know if he's speaking to you about salvation, if he's speaking to you about something that you need in your heart and in your life. But man, I...